amen. The cross made a difference in me. Take your copy of God's Word and open it with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We'll begin reading in verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. And we're in a theme for this month of stewardship. And this morning, being Mother's Day, we're going to talk just for a little bit about the stewardship of family. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as also as Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might present it, might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water with his word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherishes it, just as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You may be seated. I think probably one of the most important things that all of us need to understand about life and a worldview in life is that God has a plan. He has a plan for every aspect of life. In particular, he has a plan for the home. He has a plan for the family. Would you agree with that? Some of you will, and the rest of you, I hope, will by the end of the sermon, all right? God has a plan. And we need to understand God's plan is always the best plan. All right, let me say that again. All right, we're going to institute the amen quota. You know how it works around here. The more amens, the shorter the sermon. Amen. Yeah. Boy, I just cut 5 minutes off of there, right there, right there. Hallelujah. All right, so God has a plan, and God's plan is always the best plan. So understanding that God's plan is always the best plan, I think it's pretty important for us to understand what God's plan is. And he hasn't left that to chance. He's given us a roadmap. He's given us his word to follow. You see, too oftentimes we have our own plan, don't we? Too oftentimes, we are more interested in our agenda and what we want out of life, what we want to do, than we are interested in God's plan. And it manifests itself in many different ways. One is, we may have an understanding of what God's plan is, but because of our own interests and our own plans, we don't obey God's plan. I figured it'd probably get quiet on that one. We need to understand God's plan is always the best plan. Let me tell you, God's plan for humanity and redeeming sinful man was and is the best plan. And by the way, it's the only plan. And until you come to the cross of Calvary, until you've allowed the cross to make a difference in your life, my friend, listen to me. Number one, you have no assurance of heaven. Number two, if you die without that relationship with Christ, you'll spend eternity separated from God and His love and His grace. And you'll spend eternity, as you find in Luke 16, as the rich man died. The very next verse says, and in hell he lift up his eyes. So when we understand God has a plan, God's plan for humanity and the redemption of humanity was in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed His blood for our sin so that mankind could be redeemed and made right with God. We call it justification. So God's plan is always the best plan. The problem is we have our self-interest in there. We want to do it our way. We want to have it as the Burger King commercial, have it your way. We live in a culture that cultivates that mindset. How many of you have ever done something kind for someone, or you did something that you knew you had to do it because of the integrity of you being a believer in Christ, and you had to go back and do it, and somebody was just blown away by your action? Anybody ever experienced that? It's okay to say yes, and you know, it's not a proud or boastful thing. You see, it's because we should operate in that fashion every day of our life. Making Christ a priority. Karen Warren, who's the wife of Rick Warren, who pastors Saddleback Community Church out in California, she wrote this. She says, I, like many other adults, devote a fair amount of time, energy, and money to controlling, polishing, protecting, and defending my own private little kingdom. Like a despotic ruler in a mythical story, I can be the omnipotent potentate, supreme authority, oppressive dictator, and highly exalted one in the kingdom of me. Of course, I would never say it out loud and might be outraged if anyone would even suggest that I operate that way. But it's the reality of the struggle I face every day. And then she says, and so do you. At my worst, I rule over my domain with an iron hand, fiercely protecting my territory, my possessions, my reputation, my persona, my dignity, my rights. As queen, I am in control. As Gary Thomas observes, the biggest block to our surrender is not our appetites or wayward desires, but our addiction to running our own lives. Within this kingdom, there is very little room for anyone who doesn't do it my way, who doesn't agree that I am the most important person of all. When others treat me as I deserve, then all is well. We can get along. When others acknowledge that it's right to serve me and my needs, there is harmony and peace. Woe to the hapless family member, friend, acquaintance, or stranger who doesn't properly appreciate my status. Heads will roll. I relate completely to this quote by Fenelon, who says, your self-love is terribly touchy. No matter how slightly it is insulted, it screams, murderer. Not only do I seek complete control of everything around me, but my greatest and deepest love is reserved for me. I am desperately in love with myself.
If I am completely honest, I have to admit that there are many times when I want the world to revolve around me, my comfort, my pleasure, my convenience. I desire that others see and interpret everything through my eyes, make me happy, meet my needs, and refrain from offending me, hurting me, wounding me, upsetting me, or irritating me. I want to be understood, appreciated, acknowledged, evaluated, elevated, praised, valued, attended to, catered to, respected, admired, accommodated, listened to, loved, adored, and cherished. My greatest efforts every day go toward myself. Even when I'm occupied with taking care of others, the meter is always running as I inwardly take notice of the hours I've spent, the energy I've expended, and the sacrifices I've made. I find myself gleeful when I am able to kill two birds or more with one stone by doing something for someone else, making myself look good, while doing something for me at the same time. At the end of the day, I do a final tally to see if others have done as much for me as I have done for them. If they haven't, then I'm hurt, disappointed, frustrated, offended, demanding, and angry. Sometimes I withdraw from relationships because, according to my intellectual calculator, I'm giving more than I'm getting back. Other-centered, huh? Not often. Surrender control to someone else? Not a chance. Marriage has been one continuous opportunity for me to learn how to deny myself. Not because Rick is harsh and demanding, but because two kingdoms of me can't exist peacefully in the same home. We discovered almost from the start that nearly every conflict we have has its roots in selfishness. It was so bad that on our honeymoon we memorized the verse, "Only by pride cometh contention." Do you find yourself in that place today? You see, when it comes to the home, God has a plan. And if we really follow God's plan, we won't find ourselves in this place where we continually live for self. Because let me tell you something. When we are filled with our own interests and filled with our own desires, that says we are not filled with the Holy Spirit's plan or desires. You see, because Scripture tells us no man can serve two masters. He will love the one and hate the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. So when we hold ourselves in such high esteem that it doesn't matter what the will of God is, that it doesn't matter how it affects anybody else, this is what I want to do, it's my plan, this is the way it's got to be, and if you're in this house, it's my way or the highway, listen to me. The moment we get to that place, we find ourselves executing our own agenda and not being filled and led with the Holy Spirit. Because nowhere in Scripture do I find that the Holy Spirit ever leads a person in a selfish manner. You'll not find it. What you'll find is when we are surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God, that we're all about serving others, about impacting the lives of others in a way that promotes the gospel of Jesus Christ, that identifies us as a follower of Jesus Christ. Agree? You'll have to if you know your Bible. So what does this look like? From the passage that we read, there's first of all, There are just 2 points this morning. Now, there's 15 sub-points between each one, but nonetheless, it's 2 points. First of all, the giving of self. The giving of self. First of all, it's the giving of self for salvation. If there's never been a time in your life where you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ, listen to me. If you don't have Christ at the center of your life, he won't be the center of your home life. And if he's not the center of your home life, it's only a matter of time because you're building on a shaky foundation. It may look all well and good right now. You may think things are going well and that you just really don't need Christ. Listen to me. There's going to come a time when you just go through life and you live life, there's going to be a time your foundation is going to be shaken. And if it's not built and centered around a relationship with Jesus Christ, hear me. Your life, possibly your home, your family, will fall apart. Preacher, how do you know this? Our church family knows this, but been here 35 years. Been pastor for 20 years, and you see people who get so concentrated on what they want to do and what they want out of life that Christ all of a sudden gets put on the back burner. Even though they say they have a relationship with Christ, it's just not a priority. It's not that important. And they become filled with their own agenda and what they want to be, and they're not filled with the Spirit and following God. But the starting point is a relationship with Jesus. In Ephesians, in the first part of that chapter, chapter 5, it tells us to be imitators of God. Understand, he's writing to believers here. He's writing to those who have been saved. He's writing to those who profess to have a relationship with Christ, therefore, it's kind of just understood, even though he spells some of this out, it's just understood that if this plan, if God's plan, which is always the best plan, is going to be effective in your life, you have to have a relationship with Jesus. Because he says in verse 2, he says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Understand this morning, Jesus loved you. God the Father loved you. That he sent Christ, and Christ went to the cross and died for you. So it begins giving ourselves for salvation, giving ourselves to the Lord. Secondly, giving of self for wisdom. Notice what he says in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. When we have a relationship with Christ, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You ever find yourself in a place needing to make a decision, or there's some event going on in your life that you just don't know that you can figure out? And you wish that there would just be this magical voice that would just speak into your ear and would tell you exactly what you need to do? I guess I'm the only one that's been there. I've been there. And then I'm reminded. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And not only when we ask God, I'm also reminded that many times that God just says, you know, if you'll just get a little deeper in my word, just read a little bit farther, you'll find out what you need to know. Because when he says to walk circumspectly and not as fools but as wise, then he starts outlining some of what this looks like. Giving of ourselves for salvation, for wisdom, for understanding. Let me just tell you, man, the Bible says that in Peter, we're supposed to dwell with our wives with understanding. Now, I'm a firm believer in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of the Word of God by the Holy Spirit of God. But if there was any verse I would question whether or not it was spirit, it might be that one. Because if I was to give you everything that I understand about women, that's what it looked like. But fellas, listen to me. There's no excuse for us If we're going to be submitted to God's plan and God's will, there is no excuse for us not to strive to understand. But as followers of Christ, notice what he says in verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know what that tells me there? Number one, we can know the will of God. The will of God is not some mysterious thing that's out there that, okay, how am I going to figure this out? Listen to me. Just start reading the Word of God and applying the Word of God. And in case you didn't know, that's part of the will of God. He says, understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he says, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. Do you think being filled with the Spirit is part of the will of God? Now, we know that the aspect, when we get saved, we get all of the Holy Spirit we're going to get. But here's the problem. The Holy Spirit doesn't get all of us. So we need to give of ourselves for understanding. Give of ourselves for spiritual leadership in our life. Look at verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's part of spiritual leadership. That's part of being a follower. That's part of carrying out God's will in your life. That's part of the being filled with the Spirit. It's evidence of being filled. Giving of self for submission. Notice verse 21. He says, submit yourselves, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Now understand this. The very next verse is the one that the men like to jump on, don't we? Wives, submit to your own husbands. Woman, you're to submit. Do that when you go home this afternoon, then come back and tell me how that works for you. Kind of like the guy I heard about that tried that, and wife said, I'm taking this. She took an iron skillet and slapped him upside the head, blacked both of his eyes. They swelled shut. So he said, how's things going at home? He said, I don't know. I haven't seen my wife for 2 weeks. He said, but this eye's about to open. What did you say? As followers of Christ, we're to be submitting to one another. Just as a follower of Christ. So there's this mutual submitting as far as understanding as followers of Christ and brothers and sisters in Christ that we submit to one another. And if we follow that and we follow, we're submitted to God's will and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, then the rest of this kind of takes care of itself. Not only giving up self, we think about the stewardship of family, but giving a family. What do we mean by giving a family? Well, first of all, men, this ought to be a priority in your life. Ladies, if you're married, if you're a mom and you have children, this ought to be a priority in your life. As husbands and wives, single parents, however, whatever, and wherever you are in your journey, understand you can give your family to the Lord. First of all, to follow God's plan, which is always the best plan. You read down through there. And for the time this morning, we won't reread the passage, but it talks about the wives submitting to their husbands. It talks about the husbands loving their wives. It talks about that as you close out, verse 7, it says that you're to love your wife. Wives, you're to respect your husbands. He goes on and he has a plan for the children. He says to obey your parents in the Lord. Follow God's plan. And then give your family to fulfill God's purpose. God's primary purpose is to redeem sinful man back to himself. And parents, listen to me. First thing you need to understand, first thing you need to do, if you don't have a relationship with Christ and Christ is not the center of your life, you need to make him the center of your life today. If you have children in your home, children outside your home now, maybe they're grown and gone, listen to me. One of your priorities, if not the priority in your life, needs to be that they hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Fulfill God's purpose. When you follow his plan, although you will fulfill his purpose. Because how we interact with our families oftentimes directly affects our children's relationship with the Lord. How we interact in our homes, our neighbors, our friends, when they find out we go and we profess to be Christians and we treat our spouses with disrespect, we don't love our wives like we're supposed to. Listen to me. That does not help the cause of Christ. And if you find yourself in that place, you need to ask God to forgive you of your sin and repent and follow God's plan this morning. And then fulfill his purpose. In closing. By way of reminder, understand God's plan is always the best plan. Secondly, this can only be done and fulfilled when you have a relationship with Christ. Men, you can only be the dad you need to be. You can only be the husband you need to be. You can only be the worker, the employee you really ought to be and need to be in a relationship with Jesus. Moms, you will only be the mother that you need to be and can be and ought to be when you have a relationship with Christ and you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I know what some of you are thinking. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, preacher, but he knows how to push my buttons. You men said, yeah, and likewise, she knows where the buttons are on my button panel as well. But when Christ is the center of our life and the center of our homes, and we follow his plan, our homes, doesn't mean there's not going to be trouble. Doesn't mean there's not going to be heartache. What it does mean is that through this, God is with you. God will guide you. God will lead you. You'll grow. And ultimately, God will be glorified in fulfilling his purpose and being a witness and redeeming people to his family. With heads bowed and eyes closed.